Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 101 of the Pico Serenity podcast.
Did it.
And I am one of your hosts, Emelson. Joining me, as always, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are kind of just doing recap with stuff. We talked a lot about the changes in 9.2 last week. We have some PTR updates, a couple other pieces of news, some stuff like the fact that there's currently no socket item for 9.2, which is causing some consternation.
Interesting.
And yeah, so just kind of doing a recap. Patch comes out Tuesday. So we made it.
We made it through the marathon that was 9.1 and are now sort of flying through or sprinting towards 9.2, which will be hopefully not a terribly long patch, but I mean it's definitely gearing up to be, you know, it is the final patch of this cycle before we get 10.0. So really, to be fair, what I'm most looking forward to is 10.0 news versus going through 9.2.
Well, okay. So for perspective on this patch, okay, my guild was not particularly fast at killing Sylvanas. We killed it. We cleared the tier more slowly than we normally do. Mm-hmm. We cleared Sylvanas on week 13 of the patch. This week is week 32 of the patch.
Jesus, yeah. That's crazy.
And we're actually... If it were only up to me and I knew everything was going to go perfectly well next patch and we'd be able to do Sylvanas mount sales and things, we would not ever go into this instance again until we were selling Sylvanas mounts at like eye level 280.
Yeah.
But we have two people that don't have their Sylvanas mounts yet, because even though it's been, you know, 20 weeks since we cleared, we haven't actually had 20 Sylvanas kills. Because of holidays and then some time that it took after he killed Sylvanas to get back up to the point that we were consistently killing Sylvanas every week. So we are going back in next week and doing just three to get our last two Sylvanas mounts.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, sorry.
I'm so ready to never do Eye of the Jailer again, though. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a... I think we'll have a short week this week too, just to sort of test out some of the class changes. I think the biggest thing is like I hate this week of just raid clears, just because with all the class changes coming in, like it's always different. Yeah. Like DPS checks are always slightly off, and
That's actually a big deal. We're gonna be losing Ravenous Frenzy by like, well, we're gonna be losing, you know, a quarter or so of every Ravenous Frenzy. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only fight, yeah, it's a lot of damage, but I think the biggest fight it actually matters on, at least for us, is like KT. And nowadays, I mean, you can just send an extra DPS down, or, you know, I think we already offset cooldowns anyway, have to hold. So, yeah,
we use Ravenous Frenzies on KT to push each phase before the one of the tank mechanics happens. Not like before one, like literally one, but... before a certain set of tank mechanics actually happen.
Gotcha.
So I'm curious if that's going to impact that, if we're going to start getting that tech mechanic. But I mean, the list of bosses that I'm going to be very happy to never, ever do again this tier is longer than it's been in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think my list is probably pretty short, just because I feel like being a tank, there was, when I tanked Nyalotha, there was definitely a set of bosses, like probably pretty much almost any boss, where I was like, I just never want to do this boss again. Like, what was the boss with like the different colored orbs that would come at him?
Raden.
I hated that boss because I hate moving bosses. I hate like precision movement of bosses. And of course, then that means I hated Nazoth.
Tanking
Nazoth and things like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. I just don't like that from a tank perspective. But as a healer, I just kind of zone out at a certain point. I'm just like chilling, looking at raid frames, just like rolling everywhere. So,
yeah. Jokes on you, you're Mistweaver. You don't look at raid frames anymore.
That's true. I don't. It's so great. I just sort of just click, you know, just hit my AoE heals and it makes it easy. So,
yeah. I So for me, it's like Eye of the Jailer, Fate Scribe, KT. And KT, we are unfortunately going to have to do again because mount sales next year.
Gotcha. But yeah.
At least when we're eye level like 280, it probably won't matter if we push downstairs early because people will just live through the damage from the upstairs adds.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or we'll do so much damage that they won't get an extra cast off, which is like the only thing that sucks. So, but yeah, I guess, I mean, maybe I guess we say goodbye to 9.1, I guess .5 and say hello to 9.2. So on Tuesday, I'll have to pull myself away from Lost Ark and actually do some stuff in WoW for a little bit. So
have you been playing Lost Ark? How is it? Like, I don't want to get too subjective, but
So it came out, I started playing, 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, right? So it came out 2 weeks ago Tuesday. I have 95 hours in the game in 2 weeks. it's good. It is what I would have wanted from a multiplayer Diablo game, I think.
Okay.
So like it's much more and not just in the combat is very similar to Diablo, of course the viewpoint and like how you view the world is very much like Diablo, but it's like a MMO version of Diablo with a bunch of other systems layered on top.
Gotcha.
And it's a lot. I mean, it's very much an interesting grind where like every activity you do is very repetitive, but it's not exactly super difficult, at least after you do it a couple times.
Right.
And like, you're basically just collecting a bunch of currencies to then, like, you turn those currencies into power, basically, and your character power goes up, and then you can do the next level of activity and collect the new currency for that. And then
so you take very much like your kind of bar goes up.
Yeah. My dude, I am still finding new bars to make go up 95 hours in. Like, I just found out that there are like different types of pirate coins that you can have. So there's like this pirate faction that you can buy stuff from, but then there are specific coins that the pirate coins want because there's five different pirate factions. So like, then you can turn regular pirate coins into faction pirate coins. And then the faction pirate coin, it's like, then go up, and then there's like reputation with everybody. So everybody has, they call it rapport in the game, but sorry, I'm speaking really quickly, but there's just a lot and I'm super enjoying it. And like the nice part is the combat feels really good. There's a couple of bosses or a couple of mechanics where it feels like they're like a little overly difficult for no reason. Yeah. But like, it's definitely the type of game where like, if you make a mistake, you are punished for making that mistake. But it's really fun. Sound design is really cool. Sounds amazing. The abilities feel really good. Like melee feels good. Range feels good in terms of like the stuff that's hit. So I'm enjoying it. But if you like, to be fair, it does give off a very mobile game type vibe because you can like pay real money to speed up certain things if you want. You can't pay real money to get power, but like research, you can speed up with real money. Like, cause you have a stronghold or an island that you own and you research things there and you can speed that up. And you can like pay real money to like get more currency boxes. There's a limit, so you can't just buy a bunch of currency, but like once a month, I think, or once a week, you can buy a currency box with like real money.
Yeah.
So it's a little mobile game-esque, but I mean, it's fun. I'm having a huge time, it's a huge blast. And like, it's a different set of difficulty that is, that's nice. So.
Nice.
So sorry, Lost Ark Hour. I won't talk about it anymore. That's why we're a little bit late. I was finishing up one of the zones.
We were a little bit late for two reasons. One reason is you were playing Lost Ark. The other reason is I was playing Horizon Zero Dawn last night, finally finishing up DLC. Unintentionally stayed up until 3:30 in the morning and then way overslept. So
that's fair. I like we're a little slow this morning.
Morning, definitely. But we want to get into the news, I guess.
Yeah, in the news. So a couple of things happened this last week. And then I think really the theme of this episode, I think, is just going to be a little hot fix city. So we'll talk about a bunch of stuff that went in, to be fair, Thursday and Friday of last week. So, so a couple things happened. There is still the Breaking World of Warcraft podcast that's going on. So a bunch of the various WoWhead writers have been getting together and sort of talking through different systems. This week I was mostly on like 9.2 and like Mythic Plus around 9.2 and a couple of 9.2 systems, right? So they went through a couple of things, had some opinions on the new Mythic Plus affix, and just general like Mythic Plus discussion. They brought up one good point, which I think might be something that Blizzard takes a look at in the future, is the fact that Tazavesh as a Mythic Plus dungeon potentially could have been something that went in before a raid patch, right? So like the idea of some content, like not sort of
9.1.8, you know, Tazavesh Mythic Plus.
Yeah, so that's sort of the concept of it, which was, you know, breaking up content and giving us stuff that's ready earlier than waiting for a full raid release is maybe something they start to explore a little bit. I mean, they used to do sort of not mini content patches, but like, you know, more like .8, like not just the whole .1, .1.5 type release schedule, right?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it a couple of times. I'm a huge fan of this idea of like just doing like a small, you know, mini raid or a dungeon or something like that in a dot X patch.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would love it if we got in like instead of waiting, you know, 10 months from 9.2 release to 10.0 release, we got a 9.2 point whatever that had a 2 or 3 boss raid in it, or a small dungeon, you know, Mists of Tyr and Scythe kind of like 3 boss dungeon that we could do, and it would just be something new to tide us over until, you know, the next expansion, the next patch. And I understand that that takes resources, but I feel like a dungeon takes fewer resources than like a whole raid patch with a new tier and new gearing systems and new tier sets and a raid, literally, you know, 10, 11 boss raid. I feel like doing like a little 3 boss raid kind of Crucible of Storm style, like 6 months into the patch, wouldn't go amiss.
No. And it'd be, I mean, particularly in this case with like Tazavesh being something they've already delivered, like breaking it into, turning it, like tuning it for Mythic Plus style dungeon, doesn't seem that hard. They already have the blueprint for Mechagon. They already knew where they were going to split the bosses and things like that. So yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that like, just, you know, again, you don't have to, like, I feel like Blizzard got into this mode, particularly leaving like really around Legion time, of having like the big, like grandioso launches for a patch, right? Yeah. And like, this is where they roll out like the mini expansion features.
Do you remember them talking about in BFA how they wanted to keep like class changes and things like that to the major patches? And like, they have a couple reasons for that. They don't want to like change people's class out from under them in the middle of progression, I guess. But also part of the reason was they wanted the major patches to feel bigger. And I feel like maybe they've gone too far and centralized too much content into these major patches. And that's meant that like, there's actually been, if you look at the amount of content that we've gotten in Shadowlands, there's definitely like, it's not WoD level of like content dearth, but it is, there's a reasonable amount of content here. Like, there's not really a reason that it couldn't have been, you know, 9.0 release, raid comes out, then we get 9.1 honestly wasn't that, it was 8 months in. That was pretty bad. But you know, like, there's not really a reason that we couldn't have gotten like Tazavesh halfway in between, you know, 9.0 and 9.1. And then had 9.1 come out and be the raid, and then 9.1.x comes out and is the Mythic Plus version of Tazavesh. And like, I feel like the Mythic Plus version of Tazavesh is really not as big of a deal as like Tazavesh itself for most players. For obviously raiders like us, the Mythic Plus version is bigger because we're gonna do the Mythic Plus one a lot.
Yeah. Stupid trinkets.
Yeah, taking Sack of Terror is a good trinket, man. It's a good trinket, man.
Yeah. So I mean, that was sort of another piece, and they had a couple other comments. I mean, they're generally positive, I think, as a group on 9.2. I think I'm generally positive on 9.2. I think Xerath Mortis is going to be cool. The raid should be fun. So it'll be interesting. They did mention, though, which I found hilarious, was like the naming convention for Blizzard bosses. They just seem to calm down a little bit and just use like maybe some basic English words to like name their bosses at this point, because it's becoming slightly more like slightly difficult just to pronounce. Like what, like the sausage and like lithium or whatever that
Lyhulum is not that hard. Dasagna, I can understand. Dasagna is not...
It's awful.
I understand that one. Liehuvim is not that hard. Like, you literally, you go, Liehuvim. It's literally how it's written out. It honestly would be more legible if they stuck a dash in there. Like, if it were Liehu-Vim, like Liehuvim, then it would be really clear and it wouldn't be as easy to misread. I feel like creative use of punctuation could solve some of the problems.
Potentially, that's for sure.
It's like Zul'jin. Like the apostrophe makes it clear that these are two different syllables. You're not supposed to like mash them into each other.
That's fair. But yeah, that was another sort of quick little aside there when I listened to it. So,
this comment about naming on my part is coming from someone that named their DK after transferring Grejet. So, guess how that's spelled? You won't, unless you're Polish.
I have no idea. There's probably a Z or an X somewhere if it's Polish.
Yeah, there is.
So yeah, and this is coming from someone who named their character Anomaly and misspelled the word with all O's and one A. So two sides of that spectrum, that's for sure. Well, cool. So that's sort of the little podcast they've been putting on every week. It's actually been really interesting to listen in. So go check it out, the MoCast. Those guys are actually pretty cool. So next up, we have a little comment from Steve Dan User, who is, of course, one of the lead narrative designers on WoW, talking about Sylvanas's personality in patch 9.2. Basically, just reinforcing sort of what we've already sort of heard from the story, which is the fact that like Sylvanas, just because her soul is now whole, does not mean the old Sylvanas is somehow gone and overwritten by like the new human or like mortal, I guess would be the right way to describe it, version, like part of her soul, right? So he just sort of gives a quick little aside of saying like, look, like the same quippy, you know, snarky Sylvanas is still there. It's just now probably balanced against or teetered against like the fact that she has somewhat of a compassionate side to her, right? Now that she has that part of her soul back, which will be interesting. I mean, I think the Sylvanas character in general, I think a lot of people are a little bit upset with just, you know, the way that she's been written, particularly since BFA. I don't know if we need to go back through all of that, but at least here, the idea that maybe, you know, she'll end up with like her, hopefully they write it the right way, that her personality looks like, or she acts like she is both the old Sylvanas and like both the old Sylvanas and the old Sylvanas, I guess would be the right way to describe it. Right. Like the Ranger General pre Lich King Sylvanas is still there and comes out. And then the post Lich King Banshee Queen type Sylvanas. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting. So, but yeah, came out, made a couple of statements on that. And we'll see how the story ends. They've locked the ending, behind a couple of, encrypted cinematics at this point. So, but there is new models of Sylvanas and Trande. So we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah.
So cool. So then next up, and this will probably be a couple of quick hitters. All my orders all wrong. Shoot. So one Easter egg that's coming into patch 9.2 is apparently you can fish up the old lurker below in, I think it's in Xerath Mortis. So basically it's one of the rares I think you can fish up using some special lures. And it'll basically be a throwback to the lurker below. So be able to like see his soul or whatever, sort of swimming around and yeah.
It would have been kind of neat if they had made it not an actual boss in the raid, just like a mini boss, you know, lieutenant kind of thing in the raid that you could fish up. There's not a zone currency or anything like there was in Sanctum. But it would have been kind of neat if you could just like, I don't know, fish it up. You drop some gold, some anima, just, you know, do that. I have no idea. I have literally never fought the Lurker Below. No idea what he does. I'm assuming because it's a Burning Crusade optional boss, it probably just auto attacks the tanks a lot.
No. It's got like there's adds that come in, so it'll submerge at a certain point. So you got to clear adds. The problem is when you fight him on platforms. So like the way the boss works, so there's a big circular platform and you fish up the boss and then it comes out. Yeah. And the water itself at that point in time, while the Lurker Below is alive, is deadly. It'll damage you when you're in it.
Okay, so the floor is lava, got it.
Floor is lava. So you stand on special spots, but he'll do a 360 degree like blowback, like frontal. So he'll just like, since it's stationary, he'll just turn 360 degrees and blowback. So the way you dodge it is either you run or you jump in the water and then jump out. You can go underwater and dodge it. At certain points, he'll submerge, summon adds, you have to kill the adds. And then, it's basically it. Then it just attacks the tanks, I think. It's not a ton of mechanics, but it was interesting to find the first time because you had to fish it up. It wasn't like on the map or like you didn't know anything about it. So
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall the first time somebody went fishing in Serpentine Caverns and accidentally pulled the boss.
Oh yeah. 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 It would have been definitely, definitely interesting for that. So, so that is like the Lurker Below sort of Easter egg being, I believe it's in a lake in Maldraxxus coming in. Check them out if you remember that fight. And now that I'm totally out of order with, apparently I forgot about this other piece of the news. Just as a heads up, you mentioned this in the opening, but there is yet to be, we haven't been able to data mine a socket item. So in the last two patches, Blizzard has put out for season one and two, an item that allows you to add sockets to specific gear pieces that could proc with them, basically could, add a socket as a tertiary bonus. So there is no socket item in Xerath Mortis currently, or anywhere, that will work on season three gear. Mysteriously absent right now. We'll see if they add it. We'll talk about this in a few, but there's been a rash of hot fixes, things coming in, right at the end here. But interesting. It's interesting.
I am wondering, like, is this an oversight? There's some speculation that maybe they're saving it for 9.2.5 as like a catch up thing, which then if they did would mean that there's not really pressure to hit Exalted to get this item right away. Like you could just do the zone and you'll eventually hit Exalted and you'll probably hit Exalted before 9.2.5. Mm-hmm. Or the other piece of speculation, maybe they like have taken notice of all the complaining about the required rep grind and been like, okay, we're going to just remove the thing that people felt required to grind the rep for. Because with that, so we're going to, I guess, maybe kind of jumping around a little bit, the 275 or the 278 conduit upgrade item no longer requires Xerath Mortis reputation. It is now on your Covenant vendor,
right?
In your order hall or your Covenant hall, whatever you call it. And it has the requirements back. They had been like removed from the tooltip. They're back now to complete Keystone Hero, which is basically all the 20s, get Cutting Edge or get Elite. I think it is in Arenas or RBGs.
Right.
And but there's no longer a reputation requirement. So it's really just like, you do your high-end activity and you get your conduits. Like if you're doing cutting edge rating and you're not, world first, you're probably going for all the 20s in order to get your conduits for late tier progression. Either that or you're doing PvP. There's a few people in my guild that will definitely just get elite because they do it every season. So they'll just go for that. Legitimately, maybe it is just they want raiders to not feel like they have to do the reputation to raid.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've been hearing this whole like rep grind for power thing as being annoying to like people who just want to raid or who just want to jump in and do it. And I think it's an interesting way to sort of move the power around because like the conduit item is interesting that it requires you to essentially play the game probably a similar amount as a rep grind would, except it's not mindless content, which I think is the biggest issue that people have had with the rep grind part of it. is that like the, and this is sort of the point that I think a bunch of people brought up when I, when I've had the conversation in Peak about it, has been like the idea of doing the rep grind for something this powerful just doesn't make sense because it's extremely mindless, right? Like doing four dailies for 20 minutes a day for a month straight. I've actually probably talked about this on a podcast and been like, I don't care about it. But like with this move, thinking about this more, this makes better sense, is that like you actually have to accomplish something to then get the reward of having, you know, whatever the item is or whatever the, right, the increase is here.
Which there are lower eye level versions of this from the vendor. I think like Friendly gives you all 226s and Revered gives you all 238, something like
gotcha,
that, 239, something like that. So it's actually lower eye level than finishing the reputation from Gorthia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like one level down. And Revered is something that most people are going to get, I guess, is just part of doing the zone for the first month.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, which is, I mean, yeah, you'll end up with it. I think if you like the content, you have something else on that rep you want to get, you know, it sucks for you. Mm-hmm. Cause like, I'll never get this. Like I've already talked to like the people I typically run, because Mythic Plus would be the way I end up getting, I guess I'll get this when I kill what, Mythic Jailer, right?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to have the Keystone Master achievement before I kill Mythic Jailer, because I just don't, like there's nothing from Mythic Plus that I care about enough to like go through and make sure I get 15s done across the board, right? I'll do like my targeted Mythic Plus every week for the items that I want, but I'm not going to like do like a 15 Sanguine Depths, right? Because like that, number one, that place is awful. And number two, like there's nothing that drops there that, you know, I need. So
that you want.
Yeah.
Well, there might be something there that you want. The Venthyr Conduit.
Oh God, you're right. Fuck.
But that will also drop from Halls of Atonement. So you can do Halls of Atonement, which is significantly better than Sanguine Depths.
That's true. That's true. But I guess this will be helpful for the people who like, I guess it, not that it helpful, but I think it puts the reward on at a point that like requires you to put some time in and like to put some effort in. And it's not just mindless effort, which I think is like probably the best, I guess, compromise, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I'm honestly pretty happy about this change because it means that I really don't need to worry about hitting Exalted on the rep. I'm still a little bit concerned about Revered just because of the having to move the legendary around thing. But I already have all the conduits from doing Gorthia, so I don't need to worry about the other conduits that are on this thing. So it's really just a 278, and I would much rather do keys or PvP than do a rep grind. Just so much better from my perspective than doing a rep grind. I really do not like rep grinds. So
That's true. We've definitely talked about that at length. So sorry. I guess we jumped a little bit ahead. But 278 conduit item requirements changed. Now it's basically, you know, getting Keystone Master Season 3, killing Mythic, the Jailer, and then whatever the PvP one is. I don't know, Elite or something stupid. Nobody PvPs. I'm kidding. So that's sort of the one of the items in this sort of PTR updates. So a couple of official posts came out from Blizzard this week too. The official patch notes have been posted. So we have the official Shadowlands patch notes that are out there. You can read through them. Of course, this only tells roughly half the story, like we all know. There's a couple of undocumented changes I know specifically from Mistweaver that aren't sort of in here. I don't think they're in here. To be fair, I actually didn't read these, so I'm saying this assuming that Blizzard isn't writing down everything. So the official patch notes are out. You can check those out there. It sort of covers everything. Just to read through, we've covered pretty much everything about monks at some point in the last two episodes, three episodes. So you can go like listen back to those. I don't think we need to rehash it here. The other thing though that Blizzard did, a different preview that Blizzard put out though, was on what is this thing called? It is the Protoform Synthesis, which is the cool new collection thing for people who want to collect stuff. Basically, it's the way you sort of craft now mounts and pets, and basically it's Abbe's, you know, wet dream over here in terms of now he can get 30 more pets from this place. But it's a way to basically craft, you know, some not power specific items, but interesting things from a collection perspective. So they basically gave a brief outline of the system based, you know, and the way it essentially looks like it's working is, you know, you'll need to grab like a schematic to learn how to actually make the item. Then you'll need to sort of collect items that will build that item or that pet. Typically it looks like you'll have to kill if you want a pet that's of a certain type, you'll have to go to Xerath Mortis, kill the creature that is of that type, get one item for that, get a couple different items to sort of craft it, and then you get to make it. And you sort of a nice little mini game, collection mini game that's out there. Stuff like this is cool, I think.
Yeah.
It gives you, I'll tell you, so this is the one thing like that showed me from a Lost Ark perspective, and I'll sort of do a parallel here as I've put a couple hours in that game, you know, just a handful lately. So they have a similar sort of UI where as you complete certain activities within a zone, you get a percentage, and there's like a sort of a list of everything you can do in a zone. Similar to like we have achievements, right? But like at certain, every 10% that you complete this whole long list of things, you get like something that increases either your power or like a cosmetic item or something like that. So it's like an interesting way of like doing sort of the completionist mentality of like, hey, here's everything you have to do, here and go and do it. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, these sort of systems are always good to keep engagement metrics up, which is like, it gives you something to log in and sort of, you know, push for, reach out for, try and grind for. So
that kind of reminds me of the way that Guild Wars 2 zones worked, if you remember that, where you would have the different, like you'd have like the list of vistas to go look at, the list of points of interest to explore, events to complete, all this different stuff to do in a zone. And I don't think they did incremental stuff. Maybe certain things like doing the jumping puzzles would have their own rewards at the end that were like crafting resources and random weapons and things. And then completing the actual overall meta achievement for the zone would give you like a big reward. And it could be things like they actually gave out like level tokens. I remember that very fondly of like,
oh, cool.
Like completing a bunch of stuff on my main character and then sending 80 level tokens to a new character and just immediately having them maxed out.
That's awesome. Yeah. So in Lost Ark, it's similar, but this in terms of the WoW stuff is cool. It's another sort of grind thing. I think they need more of these in the game that are not just all about making your power, like your character more powerful. I think this is the one thing that sort of has dropped by the wayside in terms of like Blizzard's focus lately, has been these like things that aren't particularly moving your like eye level number up or like your abilities now hit harder type thing. So this is cool. I probably will never engage in it. Maybe the mount stuff a little bit, cause I'm more of a mount person than a pet person,
I think it really depends on how difficult it is to get the resources for the mounts.
Like, that's true.
If it's something where like I get a bunch of the resources while I'm doing the zone and I'm like, you know, 80% of the way there, then I'll go finish up a mount or two. 100%. Yeah. I'm not a completionist. I'm not going to try and like get all of them, but I'm sure some people will, and like, good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Cool. So that's sort of the protoform synthesis, new system in Xerath Mortis, crafting pets and mounts. Looks really cool. Next up is, I guess one or two more things here on the thing, and then we'll talk about Hotfix City. New healing potions are coming out, so they're upgrading the healing potions. This was dropped really late, actually. Like this week, I think they put these in the game. So
which is part of the reason that we don't know for sure that there won't be a socket item next year.
Exactly.
Like, these just got added. They could totally like copy paste the season 2 socket item, change the number to 3, and like, bam, new socket item.
Exactly. So new healing pots are coming in. And the only reason I want to talk about this, not that they're that exciting, is it's just that like they are dropping things in very, very quickly here at the end. So that's there. The other thing that came out too is the final bosses. So the final 3 bosses who drop tier pieces will drop tier pieces at a higher item level. So basically your tier piece will be 285 at Mythic. Now that drops from, I guess it's
the shoulders and chest shoulders. So this is, I don't know what this means for tier acquisition from other sources. Like, are all tier pieces going to be 285 at that point? Like, is if you take a 278 for Mythic plus, like a 278 chest and turn it into a tier piece, are you getting a 278 tier piece? or are you going to get a 285 like rate equivalent to your piece? Because that's actually pretty important in the scheme of things. I mean, I guess it's not that important, but it's a very odd kind of quirk to have to deal with this, because you literally cannot get a 285 from anywhere but rate. It's the only place that you can get this.
Yeah, that's one thing that popped into my head. The other thing too about this, which I don't know. I would assume that if you do all 15s, then like you'd get the highest item level of your chest, right? But because if you look at the data, like they have tier sets at every item level increment from like raid finder to mythic, that it could drop anywhere. The other thing too that's interesting now is if you think about it, when you're creating, when you go to use, I forget the name of the new system, but where you can create tier set items, when you like basically, you know, trashing another item and turning it into a tier set, does that mean you could take a 285 helm and turn it into a 285 set piece helm? That's right? Now the question becomes too, do you now want to hoard certain items like mythic items that are of higher item level to then eventually infuse and make into,
Let's be real here. You're keeping your 285s.
At least the first ones. Yeah.
Yeah. If nothing else, they're bag eye level. Even if I end up not using my 285 helm over a legendary or a set piece, I'll still keep it. Just to make that bag eye level number a little bit higher. But yeah, it is a very awkward kind of situation with this. The implications are not, I don't think we've fully figured out what the implications of it are. People keep asking me like, hey, what slot are we going to craft things in? What tier slots are we going to use? And like, I don't think we talked about this, but they just changed all of the secondary sets on tier pieces this week as well.
Yeah, I was going to get that in the hotfix. So I was going to bring that up.
Oh, okay. Whoops. Fine. We'll get to the details of it in a minute, I guess, then. But they just changed that too. And it's like, okay, I genuinely don't know the answer to these questions right now because they're changing things.
Yeah.
And I know it's like a week out and you want to know the answer, but like this answer is not going to be relevant to you for like 2 months after the patch release. You'll be fine.
Well, but I think that's actually a really good segue in terms of like, yeah, so like this week, like you mentioned, they basically went through and updated stats on every tier piece. Like every class had their stats, like their crit, their haste, their mastery, those type of stats, they've changed across the board. And the funny thing is I was writing some WoWhead stuff and noticed that like one of the sets, I think it was either the leather druid set or something had strength on it and not agility. So I was so confused because I at that point I thought WoWhead was screwed up. So like I'd funnily enough lied into PTR and was like checking it, and then somebody had mentioned like, yeah, they're doing a full pass of everything, of all the items in one of the Discords I'm in. So yeah, so they basically just did a full pass of every set piece got new and updated stats. For Mistweavers, it actually worked out. It's kind of a little bit better. We have a little bit more crit verse on our gear now, which is
that's ideal for Brewmaster. There's one piece that has haste on it. It's like haste mastery, and then all the rest are crit verse. And people are going like, oh, obviously we don't wear the crit mastery when we wear, or the haste mastery when we wear all the crit verse stuff. But the crit verse stuff, if you put on all of that in order to get your four piece bonus, then you have to wear the lower eye level stuff and not the higher eye level stuff. And so then it's a question: do you take the worst secondaries in the higher eye level, or do you take the better secondaries in the lower eye level? And then you have to add in the fact that we're going to be using Stormstout's Last Keg as our legendary, which takes up one of our tier slots as well, or belt. And so then it's a question, do we put Unity on something else and have legendary? So the other thing is like stat budget, right? The stat budget of helm, shoulders, and chest is highest out of all the items that are in like all the different slots. So if you craft a legendary in those slots, you have like more of the stats, and legendaries are the highest level you can get. So maybe the play is to put Stormstout's Last Keg on your shoulders, leave Unity on the belt, and then wear helm, chest, gloves, pants as your set pieces.
Yeah.
But that means you take the haste mastery.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so crazy too. And then there's also the idea when, cause like when we were doing the WoWhead guard stuff, right? Like there's the idea too of like pre-double legendary, post-double legendary crafting suggestions, right? Because like for Mistweaver, right, if you're going to run Agent Teach to the Monastery, technically gloves are the best slot. However, gloves take up a tier set slot. So the idea is like to be safe and not spend a bunch of gold, you'd almost want to craft them on bracers to start with. And then if you get your four piece without using gloves, then transition them to gloves.
Yeah.
And it's, I do, yeah.
So what I'm planning to tell people for like initial crafting is just put storm stouts on your belt. That way you don't risk, same thing as with the bracers that you're mentioning. Yeah. So you don't screw yourself out of being able to wear your four piece when it drops. You just put it on the belt. You plan to recraft Unity onto a ring or something when you get it. And then once you have your four piece and you have the ability to move storm stouts to shoulders, tentatively, I think that's going to work out the best, because then you can get ideal stats on your shoulders and also max eye level on the shoulders. Then at that point, you move things back around and you keep your four set and your double legendary. But like the most important thing is just not screwing yourself out of being able to put on your double legendary and your four piece at the same time as soon as possible. Like right. This, the minor optimization of getting it on a better slot is such a like small factor.
Oh yeah. 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 No, I 100% agree. Cause we have the similar thing with like, I mean, if you run tier, which you really shouldn't, but if you do, that's like a helm belt situation. And yeah.
Yeah.
You craft it on belt at least to start, even though helm is numerically the better item. Again, yeah. Dodging tier pieces is always the goal there. So yeah, that was, yeah, so that was sort of the fun in sort of them redoing or hot, like basically running a bunch of hot fixes this week. So that was one of them, was they hot fixed in all new stats for all the gear, which is made trying to tell people what best in slot is, because those things still exist the web, which is awful.
I'm really glad that I hadn't actually tried to put that together.
The best part for me was I was in the middle, because the only reason I saw it was I was in the middle of doing the tier list, the gear tier list on WoW. Like I was in the middle of writing it and noticed that. I was like, oh, it's weird. And like I mentioned something in WoWhead Discord and they were like, oh yeah, they're about to do a full pass. And I'm like, cool, we'll work on something else. We'll let them finish that. Yeah. I'll come back and do my list and do that.
It is funny that you mentioned best lists though, because my monk is actually very close to best in slot.
Oh, nice.
For Sanctum. Very, very close. I need four items, but those four items are two Vein Rippers and then two Domination items that are just like micro optimizations for getting the different secondaries. And gotcha. It's entirely possible with what we have left to kill that I could get both Vein Rippers tonight if I'm lucky. If nice. I get one and somebody else gets one and trades it to me, that would be.
I still need a weapon from KT. I have 22 kills.
We need four or six weapons from KT.
22 kills, no staff.
Oh, okay. Story time. So I have been prepping other tanks in anticipation of 9.2 coming out. This is part of the reason that my monk doesn't have Biss yet, because I've been playing other things in raid. Because I've been in this same, like, I need four items for like a month and a half now. I brought my DK into KT. Clearing stuff, KT's not that hard to tank. You just push all your defensive cooldowns during the intermission so the Abomination doesn't kill you, and then you're fine. Jathis drops. I have one KT kill on my DK. Jathis drops. I can't trade it. So my DK has Jathis now. I bring my Paladin in. This is the second or third time I've killed KT on my Paladin. We have a Warrior, for context. We have seen, including my DK at this point, we had seen four Jathis drops. They went to a Warrior that rerolled, a DK that rerolled, and my DK. Actually, sorry, three. I bring my Paladin in. I've already got the 259 one-handed sword, so I'm just like, I'll roll Retribution, just in case.
Oh, no.
Jathis drops.
You can't trade it, of course, so.
Here's the thing. I can.
Oh.
Why?
That's so, I get, does it, is I it because you had a 259?
That's my guess, is I have the 259 one-hander. I don't have a 259 shield, though. I have a 252 two-hander for a ret. the one from Soul Render. I have a 259 one-hander from KT. I've got the 252 shield from, I don't remember, one of the bosses. I don't know why it let me trade it, but it dropped.
That's and, so weird.
Oh my God. Discord was a riot. because hilarious. This is two alts in a row that I brought in and got Japheth on.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's awesome.
But it did let me trade it. So we traded it to our arms warrior, who was very, very happy to finally get one.
Nice. We're still waiting on the int weapon, the staff, which is
The maledict opus.
It's just an awful weapon to try and find. So
awesome. It's crazy how few of those have dropped.
I think we got our fourth one last week and it went to one of our warlocks. So it's rough out there. So
we've seen I think one drop total. It has gone it's gone to a boomkin.
Interesting. Yeah, we've gotten a handful of drops. We've probably gotten we've gotten like three or four drops. So but they've all gone to like either players who can't trade them or luckily like one of our warlocks needed last week, so we were able to trade it over. So weapons are always fun. All right, so let's see the next section, sort of the main topic that we've sort of talked about a little bit after the gear stuff is Blizzard has been in Hotfix City literally since Thursday and Friday. I have not seen, it's been, to be fair, one of the and maybe they've done larger hotfixes like this all at once, but they put out individual hotfixes basically every couple hours there was like, hey, we've pushed a new hotfix, or hey, things have been changing. I think they actually did a small PTR build too on Friday. So
it's been wild.
Yeah, it's been a sprint to the finish. So I'm going to quickly go through a lot of this, but there's a couple of at least the trinket hotfixes I wanted to talk about a little bit. To go through this. So they basically did a pass on PvP. A couple of PvP hotfixes have gone in, some nerfs, some buffs to certain classes.
I want to like briefly like look at the PvP hotfixes because if you just read them, like it's interesting what the common thread is here between all of these changes. Like you read through it. Okay. Fleshcraft absorb value reduced. Spell warden buffed. That's whatever. Frenzied regen reduced. Reverse harm reduced, word of glory reduced, cloaked in shadows absorb reduced, healing surge reduced, defensive stance nerfed. It's like, I wonder if off healing was a problem
in the PvP meta.
Yeah.
Probably.
Kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So tons of PvP off fixes. And then, there was also a couple of gear hotfixes. So the priest ring from Anduin basically went from like damage and healing increase to now an intellect increase, basically 180'd that ring. It's now probably, best in slot or one of the rings as a priest you will go after because now it's an int buff. So it's really good for them. And they buffed the Rhett two-piece.
The Rhett two-piece is so funny. So what it was before... is when you, I don't actually remember what Art of War is, but when you would get a proc, basically they gave you 2 seconds of Seraphim, which is like 2 seconds of Seraphim is like what?
It's a one auto attack. And maybe if you're in the middle of spell queuing, an actual spell you'd want to use. If not, it's just filler and dumb.
It's just so weird. They buffed it to 3 seconds. This is not like if you're a sim bot, this is actually a buff. If you're not a sim bot, this just is a quality of life change.
Yeah.
And like maybe like, a limit or echo tier ret paladin is like, oh yeah, this is a buff. Like, sorry, but most of us aren't.
Yeah, so they did do a pass on a couple of gear pieces, and then they did a huge pass on a bunch of trinkets, right? So, this is sort of like the trinket tuning that we typically would see around, generally before this, but they've basically gone through and made some updates to Like the Elegy of Eternals, which is the one trinket that is available to everybody, basically granting you secondary stats plus 10% of that bonus to any party member that also has this equipped and is of your covenant. So if you have people in the same covenant a lot, you'll get, you know, a large amount of secondary, highest secondary stat buffs, which is, I mean, makes the trinket somewhat usable. Probably still not, you know, top tier. Also made a bunch of changes to the tank trinket from Zymox, which I, to be fair, I have no idea what this thing does. There's a lot of words and I got confused reading it. I don't know if you had a...
Where's the Zymox? I am... There's four different... Here we go. I found it. Okay, so LG, the first one's Pulsating Rift Shard. It's a bad blood spattered scale. It's still a bad blood spattered scale. We're going to talk more about blood spattered scale in a minute, but it's still just a bad blood spattered scale. It is, however, an easier to get blood spattered scale because it drops in raid. And now, actually, since they reduced the cooldown of it from 3 minutes to 1 minute, it at least has a niche that blood spattered scale doesn't, being like, I think it's 2 minutes or 90 seconds. So this one is a lower cooldown. Which actually, like, 1 minute cooldowns on trinkets are secretly like really good. It's so even if on rate blood spattered scale is better on rate, like they've got the tooltip of it here. Blood spattered scale is a 2 minute cooldown. Blood spattered scale is better if you're using it as a cooldown. This is going to be if the number's high enough that it's actually worth anything when you push it, then this is going to be pretty reasonable. Like it's 18k damage absorb at 226. At 278, which is what it's going to drop at on Mythic, this is going to be significantly higher. I haven't looked up the exact tuning of it, but this is something where like on a one, you have to basically, you're picking then between 1 minute cooldown, slightly worse rate, and 2 minute cooldown, slightly better rate. And 1 minute cooldowns are just easier to use on relevant things because they're up so much more.
Yeah. And you don't get into that weird like downtime calculation in your head of being like, all right, do I use it right away when it comes off cooldown, or do I wait, like how long do I wait to actually use it? And there's like a bit of like more difficult to do. But 1 minute, definitely a better trinket there, hopefully. So
It's a significant improvement to the trinket. Like having it be a 3 minute cooldown was not great.
And so the and they have made a pass at a couple other trinkets beyond this. So the old Fate Scribe trinket, the cheat death trinket, had its cooldown increased. It's basically can only occur once every 8 minutes.
This is just bringing it in line with the LR trinket and other cheat death effects that typically have an 8 or 10 minute cooldown. Basically the idea of this cooldown is you get one use of your cheat death per fight. On an extremely long fight like Sylvanas, maybe you can get a second one, but virtually always you get one use of it per fight. Purgatory has this kind of cooldown. The cheat death for Demon Hunters has this kind of cooldown. So 6 minutes really actually means that you could get two uses out of it in a fight, in a lot of scenarios, because there's a lot of like 8 to 10 minute fights where you could proc it in the first 4 minutes of the fight and then have it up at the end. So the 6 minute cooldown was kind of a holdover from the old way that it worked, the old bad way that it worked. And now that it's basically just Alar without the friendly fire damage, the 8 minute cooldown is not surprising.
So that's sort of the update there. They also updated one of the Tazavest trinkets, so Leah's Secret Technique. This was the one where you could place it on a party member and you got their highest secondary stat as a buff to yourself. This is a scaling nerf. So now it basically at max eye level, which is 278, it's about 50% of a nerf in terms of the actual stats it provides. It's still a very good trinket though. So you will probably be running Tazavest for this if you were at least a Mistweaver. Still sort of a top like 4 or 5 sort of trinket out there.
I mean, it's basically a trinket that says, you know, it's got strength on it. It's got secondary stat on it. It's got a good amount of secondary stat on it. Not as crazy as it was. But before, it didn't scale. It was just always 233. So the scaling literally didn't matter.
Right.
But now that it does, they have to actually, you know, adjust it.
Exactly.
And so this is, yeah, this is still a good trinket.
Yeah, still be a reason you will run, you'll run Tazvesh for sure. Coming up Mythic Plus wise, they also updated one of the raid trinkets for healers. So the Auxiliary Attendant Chime, which is a pretty boring trinket, but basically it's an imp buff, and then you have the ability to proc and absorb on the most injured ally within 10 yards. They basically buff the absorb amount to 659, about 100 more absorb damage. So minor. Yeah. Little buff at best.
This is like a 20% buff to the trinket.
Yeah.
And it's that effect of the trinket.
Yeah. It's still, just as an FYI, not a great trinket. The problem is, and here's the biggest issue, is that there are just very good Mythic Plus trinkets. Like Changeling, still very good. Soul Letting Ruby, still very good. And then like the Tazvesh trinkets, now that they scale better, very good. So the raid trinket's uninteresting at least for healers. So, and then finally some DPS trinket was bought. I don't even know what this thing does, but I guess you can pull a weapon.
This is like a streamlined, cleaned up IQD.
Gotcha.
Basically, you get, when you equip it, you get a rotating buff that tells you which weapon you will pull out of the bag when you use the trinket. And there's, I think, three different weapons. There's an axe, sword, and something else. And they do different things when you pull them out. So you basically have this 3 minute on use that you can pull out the weapon, but you have to actually pay attention to which buff you've got so you don't pull out the wrong weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like IQD in the sense that you can pull out the wrong weapon and get, you know, the thing that you didn't want, but much more controlled, because you can just look at the buff and be like, okay, it is now the axe or the sword or whatever you're looking for, and get it. Much less frustrating than Boomkins hitting IQD with their Rav and having it, you know, give a healer mana or heal somebody that's about to get topped off by a Lay on Hands or something.
So I think it was last raid of the raid before, we had a pretty rough phase three Sylvanas. And I think our druids used IQD, like we had two of them at the time. Or it was like maybe our druids and then one other person was wearing an IQD. And all three went to mana and all three went to me. And I guess everybody has like an IQD tracker that actually uses that. And it's just like, they're like, somebody was like in chat was like, great. And now I've just got 3x mana. like, thanks guys. This is nice. More streamlined IQD. Nice. Okay. Seems like a decent, it seems like they buff basically the weapon scaling, which is the actual buff.
There is one of them that was significantly worse than the other options and they just buffed it. So
Gotcha. And now the final set of trinket changes. So File's been nerfed, which is sort of the melee DPS trinket of choice. File Putrefaction has been nerfed by about 15%. So potentially still, I don't know if this still makes it good or if it's now becomes maybe a middle tier type trinket out there. But then the other one for you specifically as a tank, Emelson, Bloodspattered Scale got hit again with another 15% nerf. I mean, does this move this one out of like, quote unquote, your one of your better trinkets, or is it still very strong? Still very strong?
No, this is still an incredibly good trinket. Gotcha. So the absorb amount pre-nerf was about 50% higher than the 1 minute trinket off of Zymox became. But this being a 2 minute cooldown instead of a 1 minute cooldown. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit lower, but it's still like Bloodspattered Scale is going to be like still one of the best trinkets that you can get as a tank. Mm-hmm. It is just like so incredibly good. It's actually might not even be giving the equivalent high level tooltip to the Zymox trinket. So it might even be better than that. But gotcha. Bloodspattered Scale is still an extremely desirable trinket. Your tanks will appreciate you if you pick tank loot spec in the other side.
You can get that. Okay. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Had a little cough there. So I think that wraps up all the hot fixes. Like I said, I have not seen in a while this many like individual hot fixes come in or this many changes in like the final week of a patch. So Blizzard's definitely
burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, they're definitely scrambling, I'll say. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. So what actually else comes out? Because I'm assuming there'll be more sort of hot fixes. There's still like a couple of trinkets, at least I know for healers, there's one trinket off the jailer that has yet to be tested. Since we didn't test the jailer, didn't get to see it drop. There was a couple of changes to that one, I think. So a couple of, you know, things still out there even to test, but I mean, this is we have 9.2 tomorrow or Tuesday, I guess. Tomorrow, yeah. If you're listening to this on Monday on audio only version. So yeah, it'll be interesting. So, I guess we do have a couple of questions this week, right? Do we want to do questions or was there any other topics you wanted to touch on?
Well, so speaking of, patch releasing on Tuesday, we got a question from chat of what key levels you need to get a 15, which I think we should touch on, because that's a pretty important question. It's getting asked a lot, both in Guild and Peak. It's a very common question. The answer is, well, for next week, if you want a 15 keystone next week, you just do a 16 this week. Yep. Because next week is still technically season 2 for Mythic Plus. So it's still going to be Tormented. It's still going to be the regular fixed rotation. The scaling's not changing. Everything is the same. So you just need the same, like you do a 16 this week, you get a 15 next week. Hmm. Then the week after that, to get a 15, the answer is we don't know. Traditionally, you should do a 20 or a 21 if you want to get a 15 for the following week. We don't know which. The scaling changes are projected to put a Mythic Plus 15 at about the level of a 21 or 22. So maybe a 21. So I'm going to be trying to get 20s in next week, 20, 21s in next week. But honestly, we don't know. But if you're doing over a 20, you're going to be close. And you don't need literally a 15. Right. You just don't want to start from a plus 2, really.
You don't have to grind it up, yeah. Yeah, so no, they... Oh, sorry.
If you get like a 19 or 20 done, you'll be starting at like a 14. And you can get that up to a 15 without too much issue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my guild is running a bunch of 21s this week, so that next week they have 20s, and we're thinking it's 20 you have to do. But yeah, I mean, it's and that's just been the traditional number that you've had to complete. And these are all timed too, as an FYI.
Yes.
So it's basically a time 20.
17 untimed this week, you get a 15 next week, right? It's minus 2 if you don't time it.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've... To be fair, I generally don't run my own keys. I have no idea how that system works.
Yeah,
I'm
super I generally haven't cared, but I'm going to try and hit Mythic Plus pretty hard on Heroic Week. Eye level is going to be capped low enough that I don't know how hard I'm going to go.
Yeah,
I want to at least like be ready for the following week to like actually do a bunch of keys on a couple different characters and get that eye level.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to ask, did you do your Raider.io season 2 recap at all?
I actually haven't yet. I could do it on stream right now.
We don't have... The only reason I ask is because it tells you how many Mythic Plus dungeons you ran last season.
It's not a lot.
I ran... So I got, of course, season 2, Keystone Master. Ran 21 dungeons to do it. That's it.
I've run significantly more than 21 dungeons, but let me see. Where's the recap button?
You have to find like the news story. It's like not on the main site. It's kind of it's hidden, which they might have pushed the news story out. But while you're finding that, only 21 for me, which is what you have to run at least. What is it? 15. You had to have done. Wait, is it 16 dungeons, right? Or 14? I forget.
To get
Keystone Master. Yeah, there's what, 8 dungeons, right?
Yeah.
Mythic Plus. Yeah, so you would have 16, yeah. At least 16 runs. Yeah. So I did 21. So I feel very accomplished in my efficiency, we'll say, in pushing for that. So, but yeah, yeah, so that was the fun Mythic Plus. I guess I have to get back into it. Ugh. I probably just won't care enough. So yeah, so thank you. I guess that was from chat, the question, Berthier. While you're pulling that up too, I'll ask the next question we got, which we haven't done Q&A in a while, but if you guys have questions, you can always send them to Emelson, myself. We'll answer them on stream. It actually doesn't matter the topic. So if you have an actual WoW-related one, that's cool. But to be fair, the ones that aren't WoW-related are even better. So the question we got from our good friend Kate, of course, of the Inferior Brew Lounge crew, they ask, what's your favorite way to eat a fish in or out of game?
Sushi.
Sushi is yours. Yeah, I would also say sushi would be mine if I'm not buying it or not making it myself. If I'm making fish, okay, I'm super, super lazy. So what I do is I do the whole fish bake thing or fish and foil, where like take a little fish fillet, like tilapia is really easy to do this with, little pepper, little lemon, squeeze some lemon juice on it, and then wrap it in a big foil thing and just bake it in the oven for like however long they tell you to do that. And then you take it out and you open it up and eat it. It's like super, super simple.
I have never actually cooked fish myself.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I guess it's just, I haven't bought fish to cook. If I'm buying something to cook, I'm doing like, you know, I'm getting some chicken breast or something and I'm doing a stir fry with that, or I'm buying, you know, ground beef or something to do like, tacos or burritos or things like that.
Yeah.
So I haven't really done fish. Maybe that's something I'll add to my list.
So I will tell you that we like Costco sells, this is probably weird, not weird, but Costco sells like tilapia, like in like big bags, and you get like a bunch of it and it's like super cheap. So that's what, like, that's basically like the fish that the only way that I know how to make fish is like put it in, just put it all in foil and bake it. Like, and then it comes out fine.
I guess I have done fish, kind of like not cooking fish, but you can get those like cans of tuna in water.
Oh yeah.
I will do like tuna sandwiches and things like that.
Gross. It has mayo on it. Mayo is an awful condiment. So
you don't have to do mayo. You can actually do it. I do it with horseradish, like a horseradish sauce.
Okay, so I get behind that.
Yeah, I'm a horseradish fan. Like some horseradish, some onion, maybe a little bit of cheddar cheese on a sandwich. It's pretty good.
All right, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I mean the tuna fish that I've always seen that like my family will make has always had mayo in it. I'm just a,
yeah. I mean that's how my family usually makes it too. But I've definitely used not mayo. You need something to make it not super, like, if you just put the tuna on the sandwich, it's all gonna fall off, so you need something to keep it from falling off. But it doesn't have to be mayo, like you can use something else,
like ketchup.
I mean, I guess in theory you could use ketchup.
I don't know if ketchup and tuna would mix well.
You're asking the wrong person.
Thousand Island dressing.
Okay, so here's an idea.
No, we're not doing
I might do this just to troll my raid leader. Yeah. Tuna Reuben.
A tuna Reuben.
You take the tuna, sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing, Swiss cheese, and you make a grilled Reuben.
To be fair, that might not be terrible.
Although, I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, tuna's kind of like, it's not like a strong taste either
it's
way.
It's nothing so, like corned beef.
Well, that's the other thing. It's something like corned beef, yeah. But yeah, you could probably get away with it. Like a little, like, what is that, marble bread too you got to buy?
Yeah. What
is it, like the rye and like pumpernickel mix or something? I don't know. I'm just saying words at this point, but yeah.
I think traditionally it's just rye, but I don't know.
You just mix it up.
Apparently, Reubens are not supposed to be made with Thousand Island dressing, but with Russian dressing, which you cannot get anywhere.
Is there a difference?
There is. So the Reuben apparently was created in Iowa, which is my raid leader is in Iowa, and he is very particular about that. So he's like, it's not a Reuben. It doesn't have Russian dressing on it.
It's like me talking about cheesesteaks being from Philly. And it's like, it's not an actual cheesesteak. You put other crap on it. It's like cheese, grilled onions, maybe some green pepper, and just the meat, and that's it. Like, and not cheese whiz, man. Don't make it Chino's way.
All right. I have my season 2 recap that I have not actually scrolled through yet, so we're gonna look at this.
Let's see it together. Oh, Siri, you're okay. Siri's like yelling.
All right. So first off, raid bosses. Holy God. So many mythic kills.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
We've been farming a lot.
I'm surprised. I'm actually honestly surprised your Sylvanas isn't higher. Like your Painsmith seems like you've got a lot of Painsmith kills.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
I have as many Painsmith kills as I've got Sylvanas kills, which tells you about the relative difficulty of the two bosses. Right. But I didn't do heroic sales this year at all. So there's no sales of Sylvanas on here to bump up the heroic numbers.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then Sylvanas, this is like losing basically 3 weeks of Sylvanas kills over the holidays. Plus, I think we didn't kill it for like 3 weeks after we got our initial kill.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Then, woo-hoo. I'm still pretty sure this is bugged because we do not actually have a 0.01% wipe on Mythic Guardian. We don't. We have, well, at least not during progression. I'm sure we have something approximately that on kills, but not during prog. But yeah, this is basically the tier in a nutshell. Like, you go, this two one should have been lower. This is, you know, low. Remnant took us way longer than they should have. I took us longer than they should have. Painsmith, we actually did pretty well on. KT was longer than it should have, and then Sylvanas was longer than it should have. But it's still like this Painsmith and Sylvanas, like these are the end bosses, and these are speed bumps in between the end bosses.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, your recap looks exactly like mine.
Yeah.
In terms of like, yeah, bosses. That's fine.
So yeah. I did keys with every spec.
And I didn't do a key with a survival hunter, actually.
Oh, and this is counting legendaries for upgrades, so that's kind of cheating. But you can see the eye level plateau here. I was talking about this with people yesterday of like how quickly the eye level plateau, like you would by August, which is like 6 weeks into the patch at most. I basically was 244 and not really having my eye level go up until we hit reclear in October.
That's like crazy. Yeah.
3 weeks in a row here where my eye level just doesn't change. And then here I'm just 254 from November 16th for the rest of the patch. And everything that I've gotten since then has just been like a same eye level, different stats kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then
I've been 252 since November 30th. So yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so I did 22 keys on my monk, 18 on my DK, 16 on my warrior, 13 on my paladin, and then a bunch on different random DPS classes.
Interesting. Yeah, so my part of that, there's only one class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not run Money Mythic Plus on any alts. That's funny.
You can see, though, I didn't actually finish the achievement for... I actually don't think I finished the actual achievement in game for Mythic Plus score until January. And this is just counting, like it counts across characters or something for this.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I did as many keys on my monk as you did on your monk, but then I also did a bunch of keys on other characters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. So,
yeah. And I'm going to be doing a bunch of keys the first 2 weeks of this patch. So
that'll be fun for you. I will probably not be.
Slightly awkward because like I have pretty good like time off options with my new job.
Yeah.
And under normal circumstances, I would be like, I'm just going to take Mythic Week off.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I should because my job is at Warcraft Logs. So I want to be around to help, you know, put out fires during Mythic Week.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not like I think I need to, because I'm pretty sure like Kira and Yax can pretty much cover that by themselves. I just don't want it to be like, I want to be around to help in case it's needed. So I might be like, I'm going to do a light week this week. And you guys, like, if I'll have Slack open, if there's an emergency, I'll be around to help with it. But I'm going to do something like that.
Nice, nice.
Or just take Thursday, Friday off. Because by that point, most of the problems should be solved.
Yeah, you did your two big raid nights already. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it for the episode. I mean, I think we're all just sort of waiting for the patch, right? So we've gone our past like probably 4 or 5 episodes. We've gone through everything. And this one's sort of just say like, hey, there's a couple of final things that came up. A bunch of hot fixes went in. But, you know, I think we're just
It really is incredible how long this patch has been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been. Yeah. We've run out of stuff to talk about like twice, three times.
I am. And not even just on the podcast, just like. Re-clearing Sanctum has gotten so old.
Yeah, it felt like an end of expansion patch, like level of just like, yeah, going through it. Cause yeah, I mean like last week we like killed Sylvanas in like an hour and a half. And like my raid leader was just like, literally like there's like 2 upgrades we can get. And he's like, I don't want to be here anymore.
So the problem that we have is our upgrades that we can get are on Painsmith and KT.
Yeah.
And so we want to go into Painsmith.
Which sucks.
And then if you're doing Painsmith, we might as well just go and do Guardian and Fatescribe as well. We also actually want to get cheat death trinkets from Fatescribe for tax now. And we had traded them to DPS earlier in the patch. Like, I didn't want them.
Exactly.
So I can't like go item restore them. They're not tradable back to me. So we got to get new ones.
That's funny. Yeah, no, we literally, other than KT loot, and even, I mean, to be fair, it's only really KT. I think last time I checked our loot sheet, right? Like every other boss is like one upgrade that's like minor at best for a class. So it's just like, we just don't.
Yeah.
It's a light week last week, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that I will have this last minute loot luck and I will get double vein rippers tonight.
I hope you do too. A vein ripper
tonight and one from my vault. I've been saying I'm going to do the Sims for a while. I'm going to do the Sims this week and figure out if there's any possible upgrade over wearing double vein rippers next year. Because wearing double 252 vein rippers might just be better than every possible weapon from next patch, except for like max eye level pox storms.
Gotcha. Yeah, I will be wearing whatever generic weapon drops that's not the glaive, because the glaive is literally worse than an equal item level item. Great.
Yeah.
A stupid healer weapon.
But I think that is going to bring us to the end of our show today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at Peak of Serenity, like guides and working on Sims, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, patron or not, you are welcome to come and join the Discord and come hang out. The lounge channels are always great. Questions channels, discussion channels are always active. If you have things that you want to know about the patch, or you just want to hang out, you can come do that. And of course, contrary to Anomaly's insinuations previously, Brew Lounge is the best lounge. That's it for the show today. See you next week in patch 9.2.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.